WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
And welcome back in hour number three of the program here on a Wednesday morning. And again, just a reminder, I'll be at the Millicent Library tonight at 6:30 talking about Ghosts of the South Coast. They are asking that you pre-register on their website so that they know that you're coming. But if you can't, I'm sure that's okay too. But, you know, if you have the ability to get online and do that, please do help them out so that they can have a head count of who will be attending. All right, well, let's go to the phones, 508-996-0500. By the way, in just a moment, I'll have the update for you on what the Hansen Select Board had to say about the Trump projection on the water tower. But let's go to the phones now. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing?
The sun is out. I'm good. How about you?
Doing all right.
I read your article about the dog. It was perfect. It couldn't have been any better. You covered everything. You know, sometimes when I see people that are far older than I am, and they'll come with their little teacup. I don't know what kind of Yorkies, I guess they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in, and the dog is, you know, they're so happy to put it in the top seat of the cart where the kids usually sit. And they're so happy, and they I mean, I don't have the nerve to say anything to them. They're just, I mean, I have to respect elders. When I see that, they're harmless. They're a little bit, but still, I know it's wrong. And let me tell you, in Walmart, when I up in Fairhaven one time, I don't really see that many dogs in any Walmart, but I have. And one day, a guy came in there, and he had a pit bull with him, and I did say something. I said, "You're going to take that massive monster." I mean, he was big. Big monster. He was. I said, "You're going to take that dog in there? There's, you know, sometimes kids in there, and you never know what could happen." No. And he said his dog was one of those, I don't know even what they call it. They got different kinds of names for it now. And I'm sure it wasn't his comfort dog. He said, "I trained them and all, and I'm training them to how to behave in stores and businesses. And I let him have it, boy." And he goes, "No, that you can't stop me. I'm going into the store." And he went into the store, and not one, I was waiting. Not one worker said a single word to that guy.
Yeah, it's a combination of the workers don't want to say anything because it's not worth the fight, and the people know that they're not going to do that, so they'll just continue to bring the dogs in. So until somebody stands up and says, "Hey, you're not supposed to do this," they're just going to keep doing it.
Yeah, they are. I know. But, I mean, a pit bull, and he was pretty big. That dog was, I couldn't lift him. I could never lift that dog. I mean, even if I were younger, I couldn't lift the dog. You could see his muscles. He was mean looking. But yet, I was kind of close to the guy talking to him. The dog sat very still. He goes, "No, my dog is trained. Don't worry about it." He says, "I'll give you a card. You can pass it around. If anybody wants their pit bull trained, it's me. But I got to get him young. The dog has to be young." I said, "I'm not passing anything out. I'm not going to walk the streets and pass that out." And he seemed like a nice guy, but
I don't doubt that the dog is probably very well trained and that he's, you know, he's probably a great dog trainer in that regard, but that still doesn't change the fact that the dog doesn't belong in the store.
Absolutely right. I've always felt that way. I'm glad you agree about that, because, and like I mentioned the other day, I don't really see that many more in the store now at Market Basket, especially. I haven't been seeing them. Maybe one dog like a week ago. I don't even remember what kind of dog, but I've been noticing it. Like, up and down the aisles, if I'm shopping, I would say I used to see at least two dogs in the store at the same time in a different aisle, and now I really haven't come across any anymore. Maybe because the weather's been good, they might have them in their car or something. But when the winter gets here, the ones that bring their dogs, I'm sure it's going to be a different story when it starts to get real cold. They won't leave their dog in that car. Then they leave the motor running so the heat can, you know, the dog can have the heat and all. Nah, I think there'll be more in the wintertime, and I can let you know if I see any. I don't know about anybody else, but.
Well, I can tell you that a lot of the comments that we're getting on social media are about market baskets specifically. So there's a lot of people that are still seeing them in the store, even if they haven't been there. Like when you've been there, it seems like it's still an issue.
Right, because I'm not there every minute. Sometimes it's two weeks or more before I go in, and there's times I go in three times a week for some stupid little thing. But and now before my time's up, Ruthie. Oh, I was so feeling, my heart felt that. I mean, my mother and I go in there all the time, my kids when they were small. And what happened to Emily? She's still there?
She's still there, yep. So if you go there now to the zoo and you look at the elephants, it's Emily that you'll probably see out and about. Ruth stays kind of in the in the barn or close to the barn. Or I don't even know if they're going to move her now to a different location with this hospice care.
You mean a location at the zoo, not somewhere else?
Yeah, right. I don't know if they're going to like put her somewhere where she won't be as interactive with people. But they're inviting people to come and say goodbye to her. So I'm assuming that she's probably staying at that barn.
She's younger than Ruth, right?
I'm not sure how old Emily is, but I know Ruth is 66.
Yeah. Didn't WBSM a while back have an article that they were going to move both of them somewhere? Or saying that the Buttonwood Zoo was not right for them anymore?
There's been a group that's been trying for years to get them moved to an elephant sanctuary down in Tennessee. And in fact, what's her name? Joyce Rowley, who ran for city councilor. She was one of the major proponents of that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what I'm talking about. I remember that story that day, and I was so upset. Taking them out of a place where they always were there, not to mention that you already kidnapped them the first time to get them into any zoo. Yeah, I got to go take them out. You know how much I'm against that. Leave animals where they are. We don't need the zoo. We really don't.
So, now,
do you agree with that?
No, I think a zoo plays a part. I think a zoo is a good thing to have.
Yeah, for you and for people, but not for the animal. I'm talking about the animals.
I think it depends on how the zoo cares for the animals. Just to let you know, I looked it up. Emily, when Ruth was turning 65, Emily was turning 59, so I'm going to guess that means Emily is 60 now.
Yeah, I remember Emily too a lot. I don't know how it is now because I haven't been there, but we're able to go right up to them.
Right
in the eye.
Both of them have lived quite a long life for female Asian elephants, which live an average age of, 47?
So they came from Asia since they're Asian elephants, right?
Well, I don't know if they might be. They might just be Asian American. They might have been born in this country, but are just of Asian descent. Yeah.
That would be quite a job.
They're not immigrants. I don't know.
You have to stick that in there. Thanks for taking my call today. Hope you have a nice day.
And you
it's
as
beautiful
well.
Right now.
All right, enjoy
it. I'm just going to do a small bag of laundry, and I'm heading out.
There you go. You should just have Dash Laundromat do it for you. They can pick it up and drop it off.
I'll get less exercise if I do that. They'll do everything for me, and I'll do nothing.
That is true.
Before you know, you're going to want them to be giving me showers. That's not going to happen.
That's a good point.
See you later.
Have a good day. Bye. All right, let's go to another call here at 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. What's going on?
What's happening?
Not much. So I heard at the top of the hour news, one of Trump's former chiefs of staff was concerned, calling him a fascist and all this stuff.
Yes,
and
John
he
Kelly.
He said something. Yeah. So I get it, right? But I heard him say something, and it reminded me of the oath of office. And he said that Trump wanted to use the military against people in the United States, against the enemy from within. Now, on the face value of that, that sounds very, onerous and threatening. And even Harris has said something to that effect in regards to Trump, like reference Trump in that aspect. Like, can you believe that he's going to use the military against American citizens? First of all, I think that's a gross exaggeration. Second of all, the oath of office literally says domestic enemies, right? Protect America from foreign and domestic enemies. So that means actual enemies from within. So if you have communists, who want to actually do harm, who are American citizens, you should be able to protect yourself against them. So I don't think, even if Trump was to use any type of force against enemies from within, he's specifically within the bounds of his oath, the oath of office.
Yeah, but that whole excuse gets blown out of the water when he's talking about Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi as the enemy within.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I can't stand it when Trump opens his mouth most of the time, because I think his mind or his mouth moves faster than his mind, to be honest with you, because he says a lot of off-the-rail stuff that doesn't make sense. He says a lot of stuff. He doesn't think before he speaks. He's like a two-year-old child a lot of times when it comes to just speaking off the cuff. And this is coming from me, where, admittedly, I voted for Trump specifically because I believe he's the better of the two. But in a primary, I would never vote for him in the Republican primary. But I think it's being blown out of proportion. And it's always been blown out of proportion in politics. You know, you had Trump who said he's going to lock up Hillary Clinton in 2016 and going through. And as soon as he got elected, he goes, ah, they're actually good people. You know, it's just politics being blusterous, right? And trying to get earned. Is it called earned media time when you don't have to pay for it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just him trying to. He knows how to work the media. He's known how to work the media forever before he ever thought of running for president. That's how he became so popular, is because he knew how to run the media in New York. And that's how he became famous. He didn't become famous because he built buildings.
Well, to be fair, the media in New York already thought that he was a joke before he even ran for president, because, you know, he was calling up, pretending to be his own publicist, calling himself John Barron and all that stuff. They still ran the stories about him. He still got what he wanted. But they did it kind of, you know, they were laughing at him, not with him.
Right. So that's the whole thing, right? So you don't get cameos in Home Alone because you're a joke. You get cameos because your appearance
personality
makes them money.
No, he got a cameo in Home Alone because he wouldn't allow them to film there unless they put him in the movie.
Oh, well, then that's good business, to be honest with you, but that's pretty funny.
that's the truth. That's what the filmmakers say.
I 100% believe you, because that's just the way he is. But I also think, because they don't want him, you know, they don't want to use the Trump Tower without him making money. I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Well, he made money anyway, because they pay you to film there. You want to see a movie, though, that took advantage of his acting ability. You have to see a movie called Ghosts Can't Do It. That's the name of the film. Ghosts Can't Do It. It stars Bo Derek and Anthony Quinn. And Donald Trump has a significant role in that film. A little bit more than just a cameo.
I can imagine. It's going to be terrible. It is a horrible
movie, but Trump's actually pretty good in it.
Absolutely cringeworthy. But yeah, it's just something that I thought of. I'm like, the oath of, like, the people out there right now, the talking heads are making this into a big deal. Like, I can't believe he's going to use the military or protect against, why is he calling Americans enemies? Well, I mean, the oath of office literally calls for.
It's not the same thing, though. It's not the same thing. You're making a false equivalency here.
I don't know. Well, tell me what the oath of office means. What would the oath of office mean with enemies, foreign and domestic?
Enemies that are actually against America and not just one particular person.
Oh, no, I agree. But when he says enemies from within, that phrase, what is he talking about?
He specifically has pointed to Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi as people that count as the enemy within.
Correct.
People who are just doing their job that disagree with him.
Right. No, I agree. Do you think it's just those people? Because if that was the case, he wouldn't just be saying enemies. He would just be
he's shown a propensity to be referring to his own political opponents with that phrase.
Right. I mean, unfortunately, the past 8 years, we've seen that on both sides consistently. But the reason why I even called is because of that. I was like, that kind of sounds like the oath of office is literally domestic enemies.
Yeah, that's bastardizing the oath of office to try to get people to feel like, you know, they should support your vendetta.
I can see your argument, but I'm just, if anybody else said that, let me put it this way. If Harris said that, MAGA would be all over it. The same way right now the left is all over Trump. I think it would go both ways.
All right, I'm going to hold you there because I got some other calls, but thank you for the call. Tim. You have a good day.
You got it, bud. You all too, man.
Let me take this call here, and then we got to take a break before the news. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, so, you know, if this is all you got to run on is that you're going to, you know, Trump's going to use the National Guard or whatever on people, you don't have much of a campaign. And they also, you know, if you believe Kamala Harris is going to be better on the border than Trump and the economy, then you believe, you know, the National Guard, right? So, I mean, these are just stories that just, they have nothing else to run on. And let's think about what happened and all the riots and so forth that happened over a couple of summers ago. The leftists, they're like, that was the summer of love. And guess who gets vilified? When the police do actually try to help, they get vilified, right? There was a demonstration when BB was in town maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and a group of pro-Palestinians, not only in the Capitol, they pulled the United States flag down and burnt it and raised a Palestinian flag. Nothing. There was no security. The Capitol police stood down. They allowed people in our Capitol to burn American flags and raise a Palestinian flag with no thing. So the left is used to non-use of any kind of force to stop people from protesting and to vilify the people that actually do. So there's a total contrast in how people, I guess, one side views protesting and another side. I don't know what you think about
it. Well, I think there definitely is a contrast in that. But just going back to your other point about this being, you know, all they have to run on, this latest version of this enemy within story, it's not coming from the Harris campaign. This is coming from General Kelly's comments to the New York Times.
Right. Right. And here's the thing. So this
is his own chief of staff who was there in the White House working with him on a daily basis saying this.
Right. Right. So and there's no facts about that. That never actually happened. He never used the military on anybody. But I love these, the Cheneys of the world and these six that decide, hey, you know what, it's nice right now. Let's bash Trump. Because here's the thing. If Harris wins in a couple of weeks, Cheney gone, all these people, they're not going to take a Republican anything and put him in any cabinet position or anything like that. So they're just being used right now. Useful pawns just being used.
I mean, she said she would put a Republican in her cabinet, so I would assume Liz Cheney would probably be the person she's talking about.
Okay, so you think that's somebody would be to do what? You think she believes? I mean, she's still a Republican, right? There's still Republican blood in her. Her, you know, father was the vice president. You think that Kamala Harris or any of the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, is going to agree?
First of all, it's Kamala. You've been hearing it pronounced correctly now for months, if not years.
Kamala.
Now you're just willfully mispronouncing it. But I think there's probably Kamala. A lot of possibilities where you could have somebody where you would feel that role could be. The person should have an approach to like a bipartisan look to it. So, or you might say, you know what, it might actually be a good thing to have somebody that has a little bit more of a conservative viewpoint in this position. So I think that if I was going to run, and you know, I'm a pretty liberal guy. If I was going to run for president, and I became president, I'd want to have people on my staff who were differently thinking than me. I wouldn't want everybody that was just a yes person that was going to agree. So I would want to bring in those different viewpoints. So I can understand why they'd want to do something like that. Again, it all depends though on what that position is and how important it is in the cabinet.
Well, if you could name somebody in this Biden-Harris cabinet that's like that, I'd be interested in hearing, you know, some actual, not hyperbole, but facts.
Yeah, no, I don't think that there's a lot of people that are differently thinking right now, but Kamala Harris didn't build that cabinet. Joe Biden did.
And who has propped up Harris? She hasn't done it herself. She hasn't got a single vote ever in a primary or anything else. So she's right now made up by the media and the Democratic Party. So I don't think she's going to call many shots if she gets into the presidency. I think she will be told what to do and what to say, just like she is right now. Unless you think, because contrast her to Trump, I'm pretty sure nobody tells Trump what to do.
Well, if they did, he wouldn't listen.
Well, and that's true, too. But if you think that right now there's anything different going on, again, we'll see. And here will be the situation. If she does get in, it'll be just the same thing. Oh, what, we won't hear much about foreign policy. We won't see much at the border. We'll just go on and pay the high prices and continue to go, you know, trash, you know, oil and propane and everything else. This is a scary time, and I really think people should look at facts than they should on feelings. Yes, the orange man is bad. He's got bad tweets. But at the end of the day, did we have wars going on overseas? Did we have high fuel prices, gas prices?
Listen. I don't care. I don't care about what Donald Trump did for 4 years. 4 years ago, I care about what is he going to do in the next 4 years. So revisionist history and looking back at how great things were doesn't mean that the world is the same now.
Do you care what's happening now?
That's what I'm saying. It's not about what happened four years ago. It's about what's going on now. It's about what will happen in the future.
What's happening overseas? What's happening now? What happened in Afghanistan? What's happening right now in front of your eyes?
So if Donald Trump gets elected November 5th, you think that's, when he takes office in January, you think all of that just stops magically?
Did it happen when he was in office?
Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean it's going to stop happening because he's back in office.
Wow. Okay. Your logic is fundamentally flawed because when you look at...
Your logic is fundamentally flawed because you're coming on here saying that Kamala Harris is a propped up candidate, that she's not somebody who might have just acquiesced some of her own beliefs to take the job and to do what her boss was asking her to do. By the way, you know, J.D. Vance didn't agree with Donald Trump on a lot of things when Donald Trump was president, but he's all of a sudden fell into lockstep because he gets the chance to be vice president. And if he gets the chance to be president afterward, he would have his own outlook too, and it would be different than what Donald Trump's was.
Again, I hope is not a strategy. What Kamala is saying is vote for me and things will be different. Well, where's the proof? It's like saying I'm going to hire a talk show host like you and say, don't worry, I'll have a great show. But if you don't have anything to run on, there is no facts behind what she's saying. She's saying she's going to do a better job and a different job.
There's a whole plan outlined on the website.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of people have time to go 80 pages of. She sits there and says that she wasn't the border czar. She's been there. It's better. The border's better
I'm sorry that there's a candidate. I'm sorry there's a candidate that expects you to be able to read as opposed to the other candidate who's barely literate.
Everything, like, again, crime. Oh, it was down. Well, guess what? The FBI revised the numbers. Oh, jobs are up. Oh, well, we revised the numbers. This is a ruse. And again, the only thing you have is a past. You have to have a resume. When you go to get a job, here's what I did, right? Trump has a resume. Here's what I did from 16 to 20. And Kamala has a resume. Here's what I've done in terms of that. Yes, she's the vice president. I'll tell you what, when you look at those two resumes, if you hire Kamala with what's going on right now versus what was going on with Trump then you just hate Trump. You don't care about Harris.
Well, you know, not every job interview is about what's on the resume. Sometimes it's about whether or not the person feels like the right fit.
You are good. I give you that. You are a good soldier on that one. I just like facts.
Right.
I don't particularly like Orange Man. I think he's crazy sometimes.
But you like facts, but you bring no facts to the table when you're talking about Kamala Harris. You're just spitting out your feelings.
Are you kidding me? You have facts?
Because you don't like her.
Right,
you don't like her, so you're spitting out your feelings. I got to hold you there. I got to take a break before the news. All right. Have a good day. All right. Got to take a break here. Phil's waiting to do the news. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right, we do have a caller on hold, but I've got to go to the news. I'm a little bit behind for Phil. So, caller, hang on. We'll get to you as soon as we come back from the news. But take it away, Phil Devitt.
The countdown to Election Day, now 2 weeks away. An E. coli outbreak at McDonald's. And what young people just aren't doing much anymore.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
With Election Day just 2 weeks away, a new poll shows Kamala Harris with a slight lead over Donald Trump. The Reuters-Ipsos poll shows Harris at 46% and Trump at 43%. But in the same time frame, Trump beat out Harris in the Hill Decision Desk HQ's election forecast for the first time. The exonerated Central Park Five is suing former President Trump for defamation. The group's attorney, Shannon Spector, says the lawsuit was filed in response to comments made by the former commander-in-chief during September's presidential debate. Trump claimed the group pleaded guilty when they were tried in connection to assault and rape of a woman running in Central Park in 1989. Louisiana's Ten Commandments law is the subject of a court battle. Brian Shook reports.
A federal judge heard arguments Monday on whether he should temporarily block a new Louisiana law requiring the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom.
The First Amendment requires that the government not form a specific idea or influence a specific idea around religion.
Executive Director Alana Odoms of the ACLU of Louisiana claims the law violates the separation of church and state. I'm Brian Shook.
The former CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch has been indicted for allegedly running a male prostitution and sex trafficking ring for decades. Breon Peace, the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York, said the allegations against Michael Jeffries and two other co-defendants are serious.
The charging documents describe in graphic in disturbing detail the violent and exploitive acts these defendants perpetrated.
The selected victims were allegedly flown to sex parties at Jeffries and his romantic partner Matthew Smith's New York City and Hamptons homes and at hotels around the globe between 2008 and 2015. McDonald's Quarter Pounders are being linked to an E. coli outbreak across multiple states. On Tuesday, the CDC announced they're working with McDonald's to determine what ingredient in the burgers was contaminated. The fast food chain has halted use of fresh onions and quarter pound beef patties in several states as a precaution, none in New England. And tobacco use among middle and high schoolers has dropped to the lowest recorded level in 25 years. That includes both cigarettes and vaping.
We saw a significant drop in e-cigarette use in 2023 to 2024 by about 500,000, and we saw a decrease in hookah use.
Jennifer Kofer with Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center says that being smoke-free is setting kids up for success. If they can resist peer pressure early, they're less likely to start when they make it to college. These new numbers from the CDC show that cigarette smoking is at the lowest level ever recorded.
WBSM Sports.
A nice night for the Celtics. Not only do they raise Banner 18 at TD Garden and beat the New York Knicks in the home opener, they're now off to play the Wizards in Washington on Thursday. Bruins and the Nashville Predators last night. Next up, a game with the Dallas Stars at TD Garden on Thursday. And Patriots host the New York Jets on Sunday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
One more sunny, warm day here on the South Coast before we see temperatures drop over the next few days to the 50s on Sunday into Monday. Chance of a little shower here or there, but mostly dry for October. And looking like we're back in the 70s for Halloween next week. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Again, 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. You did a very good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. You have a good day.
You too.
All right. Thank you for calling in. So I had mentioned that there was a statement put out by the Hanson Board of Selectmen regarding the person that was putting the Trump logo up on the water tower in town. And so the select board had a meeting and they discussed this. Now, the person that was doing it was being fined $100 a day. And there was a rally of supporters, people who, you know, kind of did a standout and were raising money to help him pay those fines. And I say him only because he's been identified as Mr. X in the media. So I'm assuming it's a man. But the select board put out this statement last night. And I'll just read it to you. It's in entirety. It's just a couple of paragraphs. The town of Hanson does not endorse any political candidate, party, or platform in any election. Town bylaws prohibit the display of political symbols or signage on government property, and the town is duty-bound to enforce the bylaws. Tonight, during a meeting and executive session, the Hanson Select Board decided to leave measures in place to prevent a political sign from being projected onto the town's water tower by a resident. On Saturday, October 12th, the town, through its legal counsel, delivered a cease and desist letter to the resident. Since that time, the resident has not projected the image, but has also declined to agree in writing that they will not project the image onto the water tower again. This has locked the town in an unfortunate stalemate, and to avoid an on-again, off-again cycle, the select board has decided to leave measures in place to dim the projection until further notice. This is a deeply unfortunate and unnecessary situation that the town of Hanson and its residents and government officials did not ask to be placed in. The town's government officials are in the often unenviable position of objectively and dispassionately enforcing the bylaws put into place by its citizens. The unnecessary situation endured by the town of Hanson by a single resident trying to make a political statement has not only caused an undue financial burden on the town, but it has resulted in at least one threat sent in a voicemail toward a town official and a number of inappropriate and vulgar phone calls and email messages to town employees who are just doing their jobs. While it is believed that these messages do not originate locally, they are nonetheless concerning. The town is informed and is cooperating with appropriate law enforcement authorities in this matter. The Hanson Select Board strongly desires that this individual resident agree to put an end to this matter without delay. So just a couple of things. One, there is reporting from, let me see, I think it was NBC 10 Boston, yes, that the town has spent $3,600 so far in overtime costs and other costs associated with wiping out this image, trying to wash it out by using spotlights. And what they're doing now is because the resident won't put it into writing that he won't do this again, they're leaving all those measures in place. What does that mean? It means they're probably keeping the spotlight out there, and they may even be paying somebody to sit around and just wait. So they've got somebody that's waiting to see if he put, so they're just paying them for nothing. Now, I think that this is maybe a little bit too extreme on the side of the select board, that maybe they should just be willing to take their own residents' word at the fact that they said they won't do it again, that they don't need to get it in writing. However, they might also have a reason why they think they need to get it in writing, because maybe the guy was like, yeah, sure, I'm not going to do it again. Wink, wink. So, you know, maybe they saw him cross his fingers when he said it. I don't know, but they might have a reason to think that he's going to do it again, even though he said that he won't. So he turned it off because they sent the cease and desist letter, but maybe they feel that he's, you know, he might even be looking to see if he has a legal recourse to try to do this. Because I'm sure there are lawyers that are in his ear telling him, oh, you can do this, we can fight this, you can do this, we can fight this, which it's going against the town bylaws. Now, if you want to try to challenge the constitutionality of the town bylaws, that's going to be a lengthy process. And what happens if you still try to keep this sign up there while that's happening? You're just going to keep incurring more charges, more fines against yourself. So, I don't know. To me, it's pretty cut and dry. You can't put political signage on town property. Doesn't matter that the projector is in this guy's yard. He's putting the message on town property. Just stop. But I also think the town should give him the benefit of the doubt and say, well, he said he's not going to do it anymore, so we'll pull these. Because how long is it going to take you to bring a spotlight back over and bring somebody down there to turn it on? You know, I think they're just trying to make a bigger show out of this to make sure that nobody else tries to do the same thing. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Me?
Only you know for sure if it's you, but it sounds like
It is me, in fact, Tim. This is Matt Bleistein.
I would have known your voice immediately anyway.
Well, I have kind of a cold, thanks to the children. But we are in Massachusetts this morning, and we are headed to Salem. And the funny thing is, most of the year, you know, all I think about Massachusetts is, like, you know, places from Stockbridge to Boston. But then in October, I think, wait a minute, Salem's in Massachusetts. We have to go to Salem as a tourist. So we're headed there today. And I just wanted to check in with you because I miss you and your voice. And yeah, that's pretty much what I had to say, except I wanted to do a little tying with the news with this E. coli breakout at McDonald's. And nobody seems to be putting two and two together because Trump was just at McDonald's last week doing a PR stunt. All of a sudden, there's an E. coli breakout.
Well, to be fair, the breakout happened before Trump was at McDonald's.
Oh, did I? Okay, I'm sorry. I guess I have to do more research.
I saw the actual dates here.
I don't know if I believe that, Tim. I don't know if I believe that.
It said the infections were reported between September 27th and October 11th. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe he was just drawn there because of the bacteria. I don't know. Something like that.
Could very well
anyway,
be.
I do not want to take up much of your time. I'm sure you're super busy today and every day this month. I just wanted to needle you a bit about tourists going to Salem. And I know it's your favorite thing in the world. And that's pretty much it.
Well, I hope you and the family have a great day out there and give my best to everybody.
Will do. Happy Halloween, my friend.
You as well.
All right.
And that of course, is Matt Bleistein. He was the Spooky South Coast Week in Weird correspondent for a while, back when we used to have that segment. He did these fantastic videos that were just incredible. You can see them up on our YouTube channel, on the Spooky South Coast YouTube channel. Great stuff. He's a very, very funny guy. His wife is awesome. Their kids are awesome. And I'm glad that they're here in our state getting to experience some spooky stuff. All right, I got to take a break here. Callers, hang on. We'll get to you. I see they're both repeat callers for today, but that's all right. We'll let you get in. If anybody new calls in, I'm going to take them first, but we'll get to those in just a few moments. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back in. Let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
I heard that you said that this was a repeat caller, but no, this is John Barron calling.
Well done.
So the reason why I called in, the actual reason why I called in earlier was because of what you just brought up, the sign thing on the water tower.
Yep.
You know, it frustrates me. You have the people that are supporting this guy, right? And they're all about law and order, and you know they're all about, you know, being big patriotic people, but they're all about following the rules until those rules run affront to what they want. And you know, it frustrates me when I hear people try to defend this guy, because you know for a fact that these people would be up in arms if it was any other type of sign. And I'm not even talking just a Harris sign. I'm talking if you put up a rainbow flag during June, they have a fit. These people have a fit. When UMass Dartmouth flies a rainbow flag, right? So this is an individual who is literally defacing town property. And, you know, these people have a false misconception. And I've had many conversations with different people who are supporting this particular person. They're saying, well, it's public property. As if just because you are a taxpayer, you have the right to use their facility. You know, it's like me. Well, I'm a taxpayer. I'm going to use a DPI truck in New Bedford and plow my driveway. Because, you know, if that's town property, right. That's public property.
If it was public property, stupid. Then people could spray paint it and face no consequences. Because, hey, it's,
right.
it's
I, you know what? I want canvas. That water tower. Yeah, I want water tower. I want that water tower to change from blue to brown because it, you know, it would blend in with the wooded area and would look better. It kind of camouflage. So I'm going to go up there and I'm actually going to do it on my own. And I shouldn't face consequences because that's public property and I'm a taxpayer. You have a false idea of how civics work.
Absolutely. You know, I'm gonna hold you there, though, because I got to get one more break in before the end of the hour. You have a good day. And I see Skeddy's on hold. Skeddy, hang on. Let me take this break. We'll be back in just a few moments, and then we'll wrap up with your call. And if you are looking to save money as you're turning on the heat and you're going to up your energy bills when you start putting out your holiday lights and all that, and you're thinking to yourself, what can I do to lower this bill? How about going solar? But going solar just doesn't have to be about putting solar panels on your home. It can also be about adding to your home and to your property and incorporating solar panels. Things like building a solar pavilion in your yard to have some shade and a place to have dinner outside that will also double as a solar panel place, you know, a place where you can collect solar power. You can also get a carport built. You can see these at the Isaacson Solar Facebook page and see how they incorporate solar panels into these nice new additions to your home. And if you want to find out more about it, if you want to have them come out and take a look at your property and see if you're a good fit for it, just go to their website, isaacsonsolar.com. I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. And make sure you check them out on Facebook to see videos of the carport, of the solar pavilion, of some of the other things they can do to make solar work for you in a way that actually adds more than just savings to your property. All right, let's take one last call here to wrap things up. Good morning. I got about a minute left. What's on your mind?
I know. I'm going to do it quick. Thank you so much. I just want to say Mr. X is his name. He called in the Howie Carr with the water tower. So Mr. X said that the police station, he went to the police station and he got a warning. From then on, he said he's not tried to put it on the water tower. And then Howie Carr, while he was on the show with Howie Carr as Mr. X, Howie said, how would you like it if you got a really big, huge sign put in your front yard? And he said, I'd love it. And then he said that he would try to call the sheriff, Hodgson.
Hodgson, yep.
Right. I don't know if I ever say his name right. So he said, I will try to have him get in touch with you. Now, yesterday, I only got an hour of Howie's phone call show because of the fact I was in Wareham and covering the power lines are horrible with my radio. So I don't know, but I just want everybody to let them know that he has not kept shining it there. He's trying to figure out if he can shine it on his own property. But Tom Hodgson is supposed to be in touch with him. And I think, like, this is just amazing how it's took off. And Mark Levin's show, it didn't come up because I'm sure that was pre-recorded. But I'm sure this is going to hit Donald Trump's ears sooner or later. But if you go back to a pre-